Okay, so first night of the retreat is when we did the actual ayahuasca ceremony. Also, I just want to say before I get into the episode, their trigger warning. I do, or I am going to get into some stuff that came up during my experience, like sexual abuse as a child. So I'm warning you now. If this is something you're not comfortable hearing right now at this moment in your life, then please turn this episode off and come back when I'm funny again. Thank you. Corazón is a tea brew made with traditional ayahuasca vine, like the plant. It's like an super loved plant, and when used correctly, like I did, it has heart-opening qualities and the ability to teach self-love. This is a big reason I was so drawn to it. I really was having issues with self-love. Another reason is because of its healing properties. It's known to cure, yeah, I do believe it does. So I'm going to say cure depression and PTSD, which I used to suffer from both for like 20 years or longer. It's known to promote mindfulness and just make your life all around just better all around. So I was really tired of dealing with these issues. I didn't want to be depressed for the rest of my life, like I mentioned. So I was like, let's do it. I'm definitely giving this a try. I also felt like my BF could really benefit from it as well. Before going on the retreat, I felt like it was something great for us to try because we both had things that we needed to overcome. But now, after being banned from the retreat, I feel like everyone can definitely benefit from this. Like it's a magical, magical, magical plant. When done in a safe setting. So yeah. Ayahuasca is a sacred drink used by indigenous people from the Amazon and other places in the world. It's made with a DMT containing plant as well, like the tea is made, and an MAOI containing plant. The tea is brewed and it's drank for a psychedelic and entheogenic experience lasting around 6 hours. However, during my ceremony and during most ceremonies, you can go up and get more cups as needed, like if you want to. So the experience really actually lasts like 10 to 12 hours, more like it. Yeah, this one is the longest lasting experience of the retreat or the longest lasting plant medicine. Like with all plant medicines, you definitely want to set an intention before each ceremony. After we did Campo, we had a few hours to rest and relax or take a nap and do whatever we want while we waited for the ayahuasca ceremony to begin. I'm not gonna lie, I started getting a little nervous while waiting. And when we were all finally called to the yurt, I was really nervous at that point, but also super excited. So I want to talk about the ofrenda because it was super meaningful to me, and I think it's a great, you must have an ofrenda. So we were told to bring one. It's ofrenda, Ofrenda. And everyone's ofrenda gets placed in the middle of the ceremony. I posted a picture of it, but I'll post it again after I release this episode. You guys know what I'm talking about. And it stays there until right before we go home from the retreat. He buried it, if like all the stuff that we didn't take back home with us, everything else gets buried like in the earth at the end of the retreat. It remains in your eyesight like the whole time because we're all in a circle and it's right in the middle. It's so that when you're going through these experiences and you're really living it, and things start to get tough. You have your ofrenda with an eyesight to look at to remind you, to kind of bring you back and remind you why you're here, why you're doing this, and just ground you. For my ofrenda, I brought a chocolate bar from Trader Joe's, that was to represent childhood me. And then I also brought a beanie that my mom had given me. I brought that because my mom, she raised me as a single mom, and I knew that there was going to be past traumas and events that would come up during the retreat. So I wanted to remind myself, I wanted to have something that reminded me that when those moments came and things got hard, that I'm doing this out of love. I wanted to remind myself that I came here to heal from a loving place, not from a resentful place, and I plan to leave in a loving place and not leave resenting my mom. I feel like as moms, we do the best that we possibly can, and we are all learning along the way. So I wanted my ofrenda to reflect that. So we had set up our spaces, like our mats, our blankets, our sleeping bags, a bunch of pillows. Each one of our spaces had our own tissue box, and then our water canteens, and then our buckets that we used to throw up. By this time, it was completely dark out, pitch black in the mountains. The only lighting in the yurt was where they have a few candles set up in the ofrenda, so that lit up the yurt for us. We all also had journals to write in the entire time we were there. I'm actually going to read you my before ayahuasca journal entry. So my pre-ayahuasca journal entry that I wrote while we were waiting to start the ceremony was, it says, my intention is to connect with my inner child and find out what her unmet needs were that are causing me to recreate unhealthy patterns in my adult relationships, so I'm able to nurture those unmet needs and heal so I can live the best life possible and be the best mom possible. And then I also wrote to love myself. And I wrote, my chocolate and beanie a friend. I wrote about what it represents, like what I had just said. After we set our intentions, we were given a tea to drink that would basically cause the ayahuasca to have an even stronger effect. I actually wrote all the ingredients in my journal so I could make the tea at home. It is. So the main ingredient was Syrian rue. It's Syrianroo, two words. And it is actually a natural antidepressant. So definitely wanted to use that at home since I stopped taking my antidepressants. It stops the body from breaking down MAOIs, so you're able to get the full DMT effect. Like I said, ayahuasca tea has DMT in it. We also smoked DMT on the last day of the retreat, like DMT 5-MeO, I think that's what it's called. It's basically just like a really high dose of it. It was an amazing experience, but I'll share that with you on that episode, obviously. So back to the pre-ayahuasca tea. So Syrian rue had tamarind, hibiscus, lemon, and blackberry. I actually really loved the taste. This other girl didn't, so I asked if I could have hers, and she was gonna give it to me, but I guess you shouldn't like overdo it with that. So yeah. The shaman gave us instructions on how to. So this is actually really important. This is like a really important piece of doing the ayahuasca. Best advice. He gave us instructions on how to speak to the ayahuasca when stuff starts coming up. So I made notes of what he was saying in my journal to make sure I'd remember, but I didn't need to look them up. I didn't need to look at it. I wasn't sure what kind of state I was going to be in, so I wrote everything down. But yeah, I was able to remember. So when the memories start to come, or the visions, whatever experience you have, or the urge to throw up or run to the bathroom, whatever end it comes out of, once it's safe to do so, like once you're either on the toilet or once you're like face down in your bucket, the first thing you're going to want to do is thank the ayahuasca. Thank you. Second is to ask her, what are you teaching me? When he was telling me this, I really didn't expect to be talked back to. I didn't. But you will literally get an answer to every question you ask while you're on ayahuasca. Like, it's crazy. You'll get a question, or you'll get a vision, or it will take you right back to that place and your question will be answered. It's like that. Like, you like go in a timeline. It's so crazy, so amazing. Next, you're gonna want to ask, when was the first time I experienced you? Or when was the first time in my life that I felt this? Again, you'll get an answer, or you'll get a vision, or you'll get taken back down your timeline into your childhood to a specific moment that you might forgot happened completely. And then you're gonna want to ask, what can I learn from you? Some great advice is, do not cower to it. Do not reject it. Do not fight it. Do not resist it. Do not. See everything from a neutral point and let the ayahuasca purge it all out of you. Ayahuasca will guide you, I promise. When I first heard it, I was like, okay, but now I'm like, it will. Like, I promise. And then during the ceremony, if at any point you need like a little boost, you have the option of asking for a yopo, which is like something he blows up your nose, and it's like rocket fuel, not that kind of rocket fuel. It's called yopo. Actually, my shaman does coca leaves. What did he say? He didn't offer it to us, but he did have them that he does during ayahuasca. Or maybe he did offer them. I don't know. I didn't use Yopo either. I wanted to, but I was like shy. I don't know. I guess I didn't really need it. Yeah. Another tip that the shaman provided that I used over and over and over again throughout that whole entire experience was when purging. And with ayahuasca, I purged a lot. I threw up a lot. I was doggy style over my bucket the majority of the night, of that night. So he told us, while we're purging, ask Mother Ayahuasca, just straight up ask. Like I said, she'll answer. And if you think I'm weird for calling it she and all, referring it to like this, I thought it was weird at two first, but now I'm like she, okay? So you're gonna want to ask her, what am I getting rid of, or what conflict am I purging out? Ask her every time, and you will be directed to the answer, or you'll hear the answer. It'll come to you as a voice, it'll come to you as a vision, it'll come to you as a memory. You're gonna know right away. It doesn't even take long. Like, right when you ask, it's like there. So yeah, the whole night, ayahuasca drops your body temperature just in general, by the way, but I was freezing the whole night. Like, I had my sleeping bag, I had two sweatshirts on. One of them was a teddy sweatshirt. I had sweats, but I could not get warm. So once I'd finish throwing up, I'd lay back down. So when you like, the bucket is like at the foot of your mat. So you have to kind of like, and then you're purging doggy style, remember? So you crawl up to it, you know, basically, because you can't walk, first of all, without help. People that had to go to the bathroom, which I don't know if there were many, I don't even remember, but someone takes you. Like, you can't walk. You will fall. So yeah, you crawl up to your bucket. So I would obviously throw up, and then I lay back down and get back into my sleeping bag because I was freezing. Ayahuasca is a very uncomfortable experience. I will say that it's mentally uncomfortable and it's physically uncomfortable. It's not painful, not ayahuasca. Hapé is, or for me it was, in Sananga, which we'll get into in another episode. Those ones are meant for pain, like it's meant to test your endurance. Ayahuasca is not. Ayahuasca is not painful at all. By the way, the two that are meant to test your pain endurance, they're both optional. Obviously, all of this is optional, but during my retreat, those ones, you're allowed to say no to anything, but those ones are extra optional, but highly recommended. I did them both, so I'll do an episode on them. However, a lot of people were asking me if ayahuasca is painful. It's not painful. Not physically painful anyway. Mentally, it is, but not physically. Like I said, it lowers your body temperature, so that was had a lot to do with why I was cold. Also, I was sitting by the window. I had like the window seat. I mean, there were a whole bunch of window seats, but I had a window seat. Yeah, so every time I'd throw up, I'd get back in my sleeping bag, I'd try to warm myself up, but then as I was doing it, another repressed memory would come up, or some old wound that I was that I'd been carrying in that I had been carrying inside my body. So whenever that happened, the nausea came back again, and the urge to came to throw up came back again, and I could not get any relief, like unless I gave into it. I mean, I'm not gonna lie, there were a few times that I tried to resist it because I was like, fuck. Like, I just finished throwing up. Like, I'm tired. It's an exhausting ass experience. And I'm tired and I'm cold and I just wanna go to sleep now. This has been going on for hours. And it's like, nope, we have more work to do. So sometimes I'd resist as long as I could. Then I'm like, fuck, okay, fine. Get up and crawl to my bucket and start throwing up again and ask her what it was. And she'd show me. I cried. There was a lot of crying. There was a lot of throwing up that night. I came face to face with a lot of repressed memories. And I cried them out and I threw them up. I found out I had a lot of guilt and a lot of shame from my childhood that I didn't know I had been carrying around with me all these years. So being able to purge all of that out of me that night was so relieving and so amazing. Like, yeah, you go through it and you cry, but it's nothing to be scared of. It just embrace it. It's so liberating, honestly. But going back to my intention of identifying my unmet childhood needs and reparenting my little Brienne, I was able to realize something that I needed as a child after I had been sexually abused multiple times. I needed through ayahuasca, I came face to face. I went right back into those memories. Like, it took me right back there. Things I've forgotten. And I really needed someone to tell me back then that what happened to me wasn't my fault. Like, I just needed someone to say, like, Brienne, this was not your fault. No one ever said that to me. Like, that's what I really needed. It was never my fault, and I really needed someone to tell me that. Another thing that came up was I needed someone to tell the person that was sexually abusing me to stop and not to touch me. And I never had that. No one ever told him to stop. And now he's dead, actually. He got like killed in a bar fight, but like 10 years ago, unfortunately, because I'd always kind of planned his death, but someone did it for me, but it's fine. So he is dead, and it's during the ayahuasca experience, I was able to go back down my timeline and reparent myself and tell myself when I was little or younger, my little self, what she needed to hear. And then I was also able to talk with him as well, the abuser, and tell him to stop and never to touch me again. And that was so amazing to be able to do. I'm surprised I got through that without crying. Yeah, I was like trying. I was like, I'm not going to cry on my podcast for sure, but I think I would have cut it out, but I really didn't cry. I didn't cut anything out. When I shared that in the sharing circle the next morning, I totally broke down, but that's just the type of safe experience that this is. It was just a super emotional and magical experience. So we were given the option to go back to our like sleeping unit where all of our beds were and stuff when we felt like the ayahuasca had run its course, or to just stay there and sleep in the ceremony circle. Hold on, actually, I have an alarm set, so just give me 1 second because I don't want that to go off in my background. Okay, give me 1 sec. Actually, I'm going to pause it and then I'll be right back. All right, I'm back. Yeah, so I don't remember when my experience ended, but because I fell asleep in the circle, and then when I woke up, the sun was already up. Oh, I forgot to say, during the ceremony, it's not like silent and you just hear people puking or anything. You really don't hear anyone, or you kind of do, actually, not gonna lie. But they play songs during, like, with instruments, like traditional ayahuasca songs, and then they have, like, the songs playing on speaker as well the whole entire night. They're really calming and relaxing songs. It just really helps take you through the experience. I don't know how, I don't know what they're saying, but it does. I actually remember feeling really hurt when I woke up because I saw that Aurelio was gone and he had gone to the yurt to go sleep and had just left me in the ceremony yurt by myself. I was already hurt because after the cambo, he had left and went to sleep without me too. Which he never does. I figured he didn't want to interrupt my experience, you know, or my journey. So that's why he left me. Yeah, so I know there are a lot of, like, wild ayahuasca ceremony stories, especially on Joe Rogan, like about people seeing aliens and ancestors and all that good stuff. But it's all about the intention that you set. Like, setting intentions is so powerful. I can't even say enough about that. So I had at the time, and I still have, no desire to look into my past lives yet or my ancestors. So that wasn't shown to me. I'm just still focusing on fixing the life I'm currently in. And if I can do that without, if I can do that without having to, like, visit other realms and all of that, then I'd prefer that. I just, like, want to stay here. This is, like, more my vibe. But yeah, basically during the ayahuasca, I just breathed into everything. I felt it fully. I cried, I threw up, and I released it. I still wake up every day feeling so grateful for the experience, honestly. So the morning after ayahuasca, I was the first person awake. If you listen to the last episode, in which I suggest that you do, because this is like day one, day two, I mean, part one, part two, part three, blah, blah. They go in order to explain the whole entire journey. I talked about how cambo purged my ovaries, and yeah, they stayed purging this whole retreat, by the way. The morning after ayahuasca, I woke up in the yurt, in, like, the ceremony yurt, in a pool of my ovary vagina blood, and my fave sweats that I was wearing, of course, were stained. So yeah, I was really glad I was the first one up, because I hurried out of the yurt and I just ran and took a shower, changed my clothes, and then I sat outside, like, by this tree and journaled while the shaman and facilitators were making us juice. Like, we juiced every morning, or they juiced for us every morning. That morning we were going to do Nino Santos after our sharing circle. So we still could not eat. This is like 36, how many long hours, 36 hours of not eating. I don't know. It was a long time. This is technically day two of the retreat. It was like 6:30 in the morning. And then we were not going to have our first meal until 3 PM. So I hadn't eaten the whole day before because I did cambo. And then, well, I did sneak a quesadilla at the gas station, the train station. So I did eat that, not gonna lie, but it was a long time without eating. After everyone got up, we all had our juices, and then we went into the sharing circle, and we all went around sharing our experience, our ayahuasca experience, one by one. I felt so grateful that everyone trusted each other to share and be so vulnerable with each other. I definitely cried. I broke down. I was like, I couldn't talk about that without crying. So it felt good to have that kind of community. I think I mentioned it before, but I'll just say it again. People are kind of hesitant. Some people are hesitant to the sharing circle. I know Aurelio was. He was like, do I have to? You know, he's like not into sharing feelings at all. But it is so, so, so important, to use your voice and share the experience that you had with others, because it brings it to life. It makes it real. Like saying out loud, saying your experience out loud and speaking about it with others is part of the process, and it's super important. Yes. I just wanted to let everyone know that I'm trying really hard. Well, I wanted to get this episode out. I ran out of water. Okay. So I didn't want to like delay it any longer. I'm trying really hard to sound lively and cool, but I have like Florona or something right now. I don't know, but I am keep throwing up. I've been throwing up all day and I keep getting nauseous. So I'm like trying not to throw up a bunch of times while I'm recording this. But yeah, if I sound like a little low energy, that's why I'm really trying not to, because I really want to share this experience with you and I just want to get these episodes out timely. So yeah, I'm going to just finish off this episode with addressing the contraindications of ayahuasca, just because it feels like the right thing to do. A lot of people are really scared of it, and it's just good info to know. So the number one question that everyone wants to know is it dangerous? Ayahuasca is a DMT-containing brew from the Amazon. It has been studied a lot by in all these different countries and stuff. And when consumed in a careful context, like a retreat that I went on, or whatever retreat, there's a whole like hundreds, thousands of retreats, obviously. When it's consumed in a careful context, it presents no negative cognitive, psychiatric, or social consequences. However, I'm going to say it again. People with extreme heart or other conditions, where strong emotions can be dangerous, this is not for them. No. If you're bipolar, if you're schizophrenic, no. Nope. It's just not for you. It is important to notice that with any psychedelic, there's going to be some really powerful emotions, powerful mental. It's emotional, mental experience. Like it's a lot. So those with personal or family psychiatric history, like I just said, or people who are emotionally unstable or going through like super difficult times should be extremely careful when doing this. It's fine for, I mean, it was super safe. A lot of people are going through things just like, but seriously, like if you're on medications or if you're bipolar skits, just no. Maybe bipolar actually can. I don't know. Just ask your shaman if they're comfortable, you know, but don't, definitely if you're going to do one of these, don't lie on the medical part. Do your research. Also, during ayahuasca experiences, it's possible to obviously lose orientation for a little bit. So don't drink a ayahuasca brew while like you're standing on a cliff or you have a whole bunch of sharp objects in hand. Like I mean, you can't really move, but just don't like obviously be safe. I just felt like I should say that, like in case there are any people who think it's a good idea to do this in unsafe environments. I want to reiterate, be in a physically safe environment to do this. That is what's going to help your experience be amazing and magical like mine was. I'm going to say it again. Do not use ayahuasca together with stimulants. No Adderall, no cocaine, any other stimulants, or any SSRIs, selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, basically all antidepressants. Don't use it with any antidepressant, but just don't. Mixing ayahuasca or DMT with some medications like antidepressants can cause serotonin syndrome, which can lead to convulsions and death. Okay? I just felt like I had to be responsible and say that at the end of the episode. I hope you all enjoyed this episode and found it informative. I really tried to explain what an ayahuasca experience is like. I hope that I did a good job. Words can't do it justice. You just have to go. If you're at all drawn to it or at all curious about it, just do it. It's absolutely amazing. Also, a lot of people ask the price. For mine, it was $888 per person plus $100 additional if you chose to do Cambo, which was optional, and I did choose to do it. So I guess $988. But the place that I went does offer scholarships. And you can they do they give two scholarships per retreat. And they can either do, I mean, you write them your situation. There's a place on their website for it. I'll put the website in the show notes just so that you guys can look at it in case you're interested. So there's a place on the website for it. You just write them what's going on and like a couple of paragraphs, and they'll give you a scholarship, and you can go for a really super, super discounted rate if you like. And then they also have the option, if you loved it, just to donate after, obviously, for people to get scholarships in the future, which I will definitely do. Like, I would use this, or I am going to use this as my, like, what are those things called? Fundraiser, foundation? Like, you know how like every business has like a something they donate to, like Make-A-Wish? I can't think of the word right now. Like I said, I'm feeling really sick today. But I'm gonna use it as that. Like, once my cannabis business gets going, I'm gonna donate so much to this. That's how much I believe in. I believe in it so much. I want everyone to go. If I could gift this to everyone, I would. Yeah, I'll link the place I went with in the show notes. They do NorCal retreats all the time, like every other weekend or every weekend or every week or something. And then they have one's in Mexico, and that one is done with like the main head guy of this organization, who I hear such good things about. I guess he used to do the ones here. His name is Andreas. He's the one that you'll talk to, and he's the one that gives the scholarships, and he's the one that like sets you up for everything, when you call or email and stuff. So he does them with his wife in Mexico. I heard that they're phenomenal, like amazing ass shamans and facilitators. And then they also do it in Peru. I'm not sure if he does it there or who does it, but the Peru one is like a long one. It's like 20 days. I think it's in September. It's like around my birthday, actually. I think that would be pretty cool to go to. I just don't know. I don't know about leaving the kids that long. So yeah, if anyone wants to go, let me know, because I'm down. Like, I can't wait to go on the next one. I hope that you guys all enjoyed this episode. Feel free to DM me any questions you have, anything you want me to go over, anything at all. And I for sure will get back to you. And then if you have had an ayahuasca experience that you want to share, or you don't mind sharing, go ahead and send it to me so I can talk about it on the podcast. Or if you want to like actually be a guest on it, we can do even like remote, what is it called? They have like a thing on my podcasting host site, like where I can do it over the computer. Like, we don't like we can do remote podcasting, or we can go and do in person, whatever. Whatever's cool with you. If you want to come on, talk about your ayahuasca experience or any psychedelic experience, please send me a DM. I'd love to have you on. If you don't want to talk about it, if you want to be anonymous, but you want to share, I can still send me a DM. I'll read your story. I'd love to have just different people's experiences on here, so that would be cool. Yeah, and I will see you next time for my Niño Santos episode, which is shrooms, which was so much fun. It was intense as hell, but it's so much fun. It basically like brings out the kid version of you. It's Niño Santos. It means something. I forget what it means. Something with kids. I'll remember by the time I record the next episode. But yeah. Talk to you guys soon. Okay, this part of the episode I am recording after I was done recording the whole episode. just because I was reading through my journal, and I felt like if I really wanted to give you guys the full experience of this ayahuasca journey, I should read you my journal entry. Like, that's exactly how I was feeling, and the morning after. So I wanted to just add in a little part where I'm reading you exactly what my journal entry says. If I sound a little bit tired or whatever right now, it's because my great grandpa, he's in the hospital, but they stopped treatment about an hour ago. So yeah, I'm not ready to face that yet, but I've been crying for the past hour. But I really wanted to get this episode out, so I'm just gonna keep doing it. And it's a great distraction. I get to talk about this amazing experience. So yeah. Here is a journal entry from the morning right after the ayahuasca ceremony. It says, so the date was July 1st. It says, I began purging quickly. I purged shame. I asked her to show me when the first time I felt shame was, and my body started shaking. By her, I mean ayahuasca. My body began. I write like a little bit messy, especially when I'm trying to write quickly, as I was during this time. So let me try to read it. So yeah, my body started shaking as it does when I'm having a panic attack. But instead of trying to resist the feeling like I usually do, I surrendered to it. And in doing so, I went back to a time when I was 11. Or the ayahuasca took me back to a time when I was 11. And then I talk about the sexual abuse. Like, I go really into detail in my detail in my journal. That's where the ayahuasca took me back to the first time I was sexually abused, actually. I won't go into detail on here. I don't know, I just don't want to right now. I'm like not in the emotional space to do that right now. Like, maybe on an episode way in the future when I have like guests and stuff, I'll talk about it, but not now. You guys didn't get the point though. Let's see. So I talk about that, and then I said I purged again and asked Mother Ayahuasca what this was supposed to teach me. She said that little girl needed someone to tell her it was not her fault. I've been carrying the shame around with me since I was 11, and no one ever told me that it wasn't my fault. I was so ashamed of the sexual abuse and grooming this man had done to me at that time, even though I was only 11. I was too ashamed to call or tell my mom at first. So one day, yeah, I guess I go more into detail. I didn't read this journal entry before I started the episode. But yeah, I basically go into detail of the sexual abuse in my journal that morning. But the point is that is kind of where the ayahuasca took me. It took me right back to when I was 11 years old, a lot of that night. Yeah, I just wanted to reiterate that. And then I was about to start the sharing circle, so I also did a journal entry of like a little brief outline of what I wanted to say, because I get nervous when I talk to, in front of people, and then I forget. I get like lose my train of thought. So I said, sharing circle post ayahuasca purging. I felt a little resistance toward it, but I felt like if I didn't surrender to the discomfort of getting out of my sleeping bag and allowing myself to purge, I wouldn't be able to move forward or have my questions answered. And it's true, you have to resist to it. I said that earlier. And then it says purge, first purge. I asked what it was that I purged, and it was shame. I thanked it. I asked when I first experienced it. I got a flashback. Took me back to 11, being in a car. What unmet need? I needed someone to tell me it wasn't my fault and tell him to stop. And then I go into my intentions for Nino Santos, which I'll talk about on the next episode. So yeah, I'm glad I wanted to just share that piece with you guys. So in hopes that you guys get like a full, just as much of an explanation as possible about what happened during ayahuasca. So yes, thank you so much for listening as always. Sorry for the pauses or anything or papers ruffling. I will get better with time, I promise. I just need a little practice. I appreciate all of you. Thank you. And thank you for allowing me to share. Bye.